For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now.
Suffering, little pains, trivialities. The washing machine quits when you have a house full of guests, or the roast burns when your husband's boss is coming for dinner. You want to tear your hair. You want to sink down and just cry your eyes out when something like that happens. Has that got anything to do with the will of God? Yes. Yes, it has. If we can't trust God in the kindergarten lessons, how do we ever expect to graduate? Think about it. Now think back to the moment you got up this morning until you got here. I dare say that there were maybe one or two tiny little things that cut across your desires. And the Lord has assigned us this portion. Where did I get that idea? Well, straight out of the Bible. Psalm 16:5 says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. And did I have to have this ridiculous little glitch in my plans? And he gently and calmly says to us, yes, you needed it. It was a necessity. Now the Bible says, ought not Christ to have suffered? That word ought shows us that it was a necessity. That was the words that Jesus gave to those two who met him on the road to Emmaus. And he said, ought not Christ to have suffered? Did it have to happen to the spotless Lamb of God? It is a mystery, isn't it? But the answer is yes, it had to happen. There was no other way. Hebrews 2:9 says he was crowned because he suffered. Crowned because he suffered. There's a story in a book by Helen Waddell, I think her name was. She wrote a book about Abelard. And this is the story. Peter Abelard and Thibault, that's T-H-I-B-A-U-L-T, I believe that's pronounced Thibault. Peter and Thibault hear a terrible cry in the woods like the scream of a child in agony. And they find a rabbit caught in a trap. They free it. It nuzzles into Peter's arms and dies. It was that last confiding thrust that broke Abelard's heart. Thibault, he said, do you think there is a God at all? And I think some of us can understand what he meant by that, because we love animals. And if we really love animals, we don't want to see an animal suffer any more than we want to see a child suffer. So he says, do you think there is a God at all? Whatever has come to me, I earned it, in the form of suffering, of course. But what did this one do, this rabbit? Thibault nodded. I know, he said. Only I think God is in it too. Abelard looked up sharply. In it? Do you mean that it makes him suffer the way it does us? Again, Thibault nodded. All this, and he stroked the limp body, is because of us. All the time, God suffers more than we do. Abelard looked at him, perplexed. Thibault, do you mean Calvary? Thibault shook his head. That was only a piece of it, the piece that we saw in time, like that. And he pointed to a fallen tree beside them, sawn through the middle. That dark ring there, it goes up and down the whole length of the tree, but you only see it where it is cut across. That is what Christ's life was. The bit of God that we saw. And we think God is like that because Christ was like that. Kind, forgiving sins, healing people. We think God is like that forever because it happened once with Christ. But not the pain, not the agony at the last. We think that stopped. Abelard looked at him. Then, Thibault, he said slowly, you think that all of this, all the pain of the world, was Christ's cross? God's cross, said Thibault, and it goes on and on. Do we think that God is up there indifferent now to the suffering of the world? He is not indifferent even to a rabbit caught in a trap. But we say he could stop it, couldn't he? Why doesn't he stop it? He has already dealt with it on that cross. He bore our griefs. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And Hebrews 2:9 tells us he was crowned because he suffered. Wouldn't you think God could have thought of another way for his holy Son to be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords? If there had been another way, God would have found it. There was no other way. Have I accepted my tiny portion of suffering with gladness, with humble trust and faithfulness? Or am I angry with God? Do I think that God has apportioned out to me more than I deserved? I didn't deserve this. What did I do? Or maybe you're not saying that. Maybe you're saying, what did she do? She's such a wonderful person. Why does she have to suffer like that? And then this other crumb bum, you know, this guy who ruined your husband's business or who went off with somebody else's wife, he's happy as a clam. He's rich, he's happy, everything seems to work fine in his life. Do you really think God knows what he's doing? Do you really believe that suffering is a necessity? Ugo Bassi wrote, measure thy life by loss, and not by gain, not by the wine drunk, but by the wine poured forth. For love's strength standeth in love's sacrifice, and he that suffereth most hath most to give. He that suffereth most hath most to give. Suffering is a necessity. In bringing many sons to glory, Jesus had to be made perfect through suffering. Wasn't he perfect? We're talking about a mystery again, aren't we? And because he suffered, we read in Hebrews, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He has been tempted in all points, as you and I have been tempted. Don't ever suppose for a moment that God is beyond your troubles, that he doesn't understand. In all points, he has been tempted as we are. C.S. Lewis has said, suffering is God's megaphone. He whispers to us in our joys, speaks to us in our conscience, and shouts to us in our pain. Speaks to us in our joys, that means that when everything's going wonderfully well for us, we're not really paying a whole lot of attention to God, are we, most of the time? Everything's fine. We don't really need him. And then he whispers to us in our conscience, and that needles us a little bit, doesn't it? Makes us uncomfortable. But then he has to shout to us in our pain. He has to use the megaphone in order to get our attention. And even an atheist might forget himself so far as to say, oh my God. But that is a natural reaction, isn't it? We pay attention when we're in pain. And usually we start out with anger, with bitterness. Why would God do this to me? Did I deserve this? Suffering is necessary. A man by the name of Walter Chiswick, in a book called He Leadeth Me, describes his life in a Soviet labor camp. I cannot even imagine how awful concentration camps and labor camps are and have been. except what I've read, and I read a good many books by people who have survived them. And Walter Chizik said this: the Soviet interrogators were trying to persuade him to cooperate with them. "I saw only my own weakness and helplessness. To choose either position opened to me, cooperation or execution. I knew that I had gone beyond all bounds. I had crossed over the brink into a fit of blackness I had never known before. It was very real, and I began to tremble. I had lost the last shreds of faith in God. Recognizing that, I turned immediately to prayer in fear and trembling. I knew I had to seek immediately the God I had forgotten. I knew immediately what I must do, what I would do, and somehow I knew that I could do it. I knew that I must abandon myself entirely to the will of the Father and live from now on in this spirit of self-abandonment to God. And I did it. God's will was not hidden somewhere out there in the situations in which I found myself. The situations themselves were his will for me." I want you to let that sink in. This is probably a more hideous situation than you and I can ever imagine. And he's able to say that he realized that the situations themselves were God's will. But they were evil, weren't they? They were perpetrated by very wicked men who hated him and all the rest that they had imprisoned, and were doing everything they could to make their lives as miserable as possible. Can you put that together in your faith?
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.